Let's talk about politics and in those roles that you've mentioned before and in all the roles that we tend to face into, frankly, if there's other people involved, politics will be present. Mm-hmm. And I think many people sort of mistake politics to be an ugly, messy game that is a necessity whenever you're entering into large organizations, into government, into the public forum. You've written a book, and I'll see if I get this right. If you don't do politics, politics will do you. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the origin for that publication. We're going to link to this because there's something really interesting in the way that we can enter politics in any part of life, which becomes quite an advantage if you understand the game that's being played. Mm. So I'd love to understand more about how you frame politics and what it means and how people can be using that in their lives. If they're going to work right now, they're listening to this and thinking, oh, I've got a lot to face into in my large organization and things aren't looking great right now.
Mm.
Let's unpack that a little bit so people can work that through.
Yeah, so often when people hear the phrase workplace politics, you know, they think of a corporate, even though it's not just restricted to corporates, it happens in all organizations, like you said. They think of it almost like the workplace equivalent of that TV reality show Survivor, right? Which I don't watch, but my mother is a complete nut about it. She really likes that program. And I know enough about it to know that the tagline is outwit, outplay, outlast. You know, so it's kind of the daily career equivalent of going leopard crawling and checking things out and just hanging in there to outwit, outplay, outlast. Well, yeah, I mean, look, it could be that, but personally, I can't think of a more exhausting / revolting way of spending 40 years of my life. So that's not what it is. I mean, it can be, but that's not necessarily what it is. The way I define and frame and think about politics is it's about all the informal, the unofficial, the behind the scenes things that happen in organizations, in all organizations, and frankly, not just in organizations, in our families as well. You know, it's how human beings show up in terms of the informal, the unofficial ways that we use our power, build our power, get influence, use influence, accrue influence, really to get things done. And I had this fabulous conversation last week where somebody said something and I thought, yes, that's exactly right. And what he said was, yes, politics are not a bug of organizations, they're a feature. Yes. You know, the way I've always described it is when somebody says to me that their organization is political or has politics, as though this is some big revelation. No, do me a favor. I mean, telling me that your organization has politics is like telling me that water is wet. Of course it's got it. The question is not whether it's got politics, but what kind of politics it's got. Mm. And so this informal, unofficial, behind-the-scenes efforts, I mean, this is inevitable. And not understanding this is one of the key mistakes that people make, because there are really three stages of maturity when it comes to playing politics and having political will and skill. The first stage, absolutely, can be naivety and avoidance. So you see it as a bug. You see it as something to be eliminated. You see it as something that's a distraction that stands in the way of productivity and effectiveness. And that's one way of looking at it. A more mature way of looking at it, a more pragmatic way of looking at it is stage two, where it's coping and endurance. So you recognize the inevitability of it. You recognize the importance of it. You don't exactly relish it, but okay, you can grit your teeth and get on with it. And then stage three is when it is leveraging and proficiency. You recognize, look, this is just how things work. Mm. And so assuming that you're in a place where you want to learn the rules of how politics are played in that place in order to achieve what that place is setting out to achieve, well, then you start getting proficient and you leverage it. And what I repeatedly say is it's not just for you. It is for the people who are counting on you, be that your stakeholders, your team, your partners, because there is research that says, you know, the people who are working for politically engaged and politically effective managers are themselves more engaged at work. And so often, you know, this idea that politics is only negative, only unfair, only destructive and exclusionary, that is a kind of politics. That's a version of politics, sure. But this negative view of politics, often it comes from people who are not good at politics. Because when you're good at it and you are either consciously or unconsciously and consciously or unconsciously competent, well, then you just get on with it and you reap the benefits.
So somebody who has heard that explanation and feels an almost a visceral response to, but I just don't think I'm political. Like there's almost an identity that could be absorbed by that. I'm here to do great work. I'm here to lead my team. I'm here to, I'm very vision focused. Like I see the vision of my company and frankly, I'm going to put politics aside and I'm just going to get the job done.
How long do I have to start laughing? And when can I stop? Well, no, I'm joking. I mean, you know, do I laugh or do I cry? Because I say both of those in complete recognition of how people are feeling. I mean, look, I was incredibly young when I got promoted to a very senior position. So I was a CEO at 29. And full frankly, I would not have hired me. So how this board hired me, I don't know. So I totally get what people are saying. I didn't really have to climb the ladder. I just got catapulted in. So I'm laughing and I'm crying, not in derision, but in complete recognition and agreement with that point of view, because that was the point of view I had for 20 years of my career.
Yeah.
I'm a very, I like to think that I take my value seriously. And in fact, I know that I take my value seriously because I sometimes get groups in leadership classes to think about, tell me about your values, but tell me about a time that you paid a price for your values. Because frankly, until you pay a price for them, they're corporate wallpaper. So I have paid a price for my values. They matter immensely to me. And I really thought that this was a mutually exclusive thing. I could either live my values and be true to them, or I could play politics. Because of course, only people who sell their soul play politics. And actually, that was such a narrow-minded way of looking at this. And it was woefully naive to think that I'm just here to do my job. Mm. Yeah, sure. Your formal job description, your formal KPIs, the formal part of any organization, the organogram, the delegation of authority. I mean, these things, of course, they matter. And of course, they're real. And they're incredibly important. But just as real and just as important